Welcome to the Ted Brower Show with my co-host Austin Brower. We're the father and son team that pretty much tries to put things together for you in a perspective that everybody's going to either enjoy or not enjoy or like or not like. But we're going to tell you the truth. We're kind of like a cross-eyed discus thrower. We're going to keep the crowd alert, though we may not set any records. So we're here today, and we're going to have Dwayne Allen Root on in just a few moments. But I want to read something to you out of the New Testament very quickly from my Bible verse of the day. And this is important because it deals with business relationships. It deals with everything. It says, "Do not be yoked with unbelievers. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean thing." By the way, that's also referring to unclean foods like pork and shellfish. I thought I'd mention that. "And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be the sons of my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates both body in the shellfish and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God," out of the New Testament. Dwayne Allen Root, are you on with me yet? And he is not. Austin, what are you doing today besides running to the office?
Staying busy, man. Taking care of all of our customers and, keeping everything going along. The Purple Sticks have been selling pretty strong. Still a very popular product, so I'm happy to, make sure all of our customers get those. We don't really have a limit on them right now. You can order pretty much as many as you want. Why we still can do that, but other than that, it's been going good here.
And the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. Here's an interesting article today submitted by Tyler Durden, and it says it's worse than 2008. CEO of world's largest shipping company delivers dire assessment of global economy. Goes on to say, earlier today we highlighted the rather abysmal results reported by Maersk, the world's largest shipping company. To the extent the conglomerate is a bellwether for global growth and trade, things are looking pretty grim. Maersk Line, the company's golden goose and the world's largest container operator, racked up $182 million in red ink last quarter, and the outlook for 2016 isn't pretty either. The company now sees demand for seaborne container transportation rising a meager 1-3% for the year. It all goes back to the Baltic Dry Index, Austin. And in addition to that, this is not just the raw materials that are being shipped. This is everything. This is cars. This is finished product. This is everything. Massive, massive slump. What do you think is going to happen with this, Oz?
Well, yeah, we're definitely seeing a decline on it. I was looking at the numbers today, and as oil dropped below 28 a barrel today, silver is still holding right around 1,200 an ounce, which, if you guys remember, I talked about last week as far as the oil barrels of oil per gold value was all-time high. We've actually hit an even further high today. Now we're at 42.88 barrels of oil per 1 ounce of gold. So that's we're getting pretty significant numbers here as far as what you can actually purchase with a single ounce of gold, which is interesting.
Well, we've got Dwayne Allen Root with us today, and he's got a new book out. It's called The Power of Relentless, The 7 Secrets to Achieving Mega Success, Financial Freedom, and the Life of Your Dreams. He's also a close friend of Donald Trump's and was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate for 2008. He has in his little book, he says, "Are you ready to supercharge your career, grow your business beyond your wildest dreams, turn your life up to 11, learn the secrets of success from Mr. Relentless himself, capitalist, evangelist, Dwayne Allen Root, best-selling author, TV producer, serial entrepreneur, vice presidential nominee, and business speaker on the international circuit, reveals 7 principles of Relentless that will take you to the next level never imagined." Dwayne, it's my pleasure to have you on with me today. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Hey, Ted, how are you?
Blessed. I'm doing wonderful. Now, I want everybody to know that you are a born-again believer. You are a Christian. You are you were Jewish when you converted to Christianity. So that would make you a – what do you call that, Austin, when a person – it's a – Sharon knows the question. My God, I just had a brain slaps here, Dwayne. So it's a messianic Jew, correct? Is that what it's called?
I've heard a term to complete a Jew, right?
Well, I like that one even better. Okay. But I've talked to Wayne multiple times on the telephone. He's probably sent him 100 emails in the last few weeks. He was introduced to me by a mutual friend of ours, David Crank, who's also a friend of Donald Trump's. And so I wanted to get Wayne on the show, and I started listening to some of his YouTube videos that have huge views. And I thought, wow, I got to get this guy on to talk about his book and talk about the Donald and talk about some other stuff. But I had a couple of questions, Wayne. Can you answer some questions if you think Donald may or may not talk about certain topics, or do you not want to go there, or do you want to talk about them yourself?
No. You hit me with the question. I'll be glad to either say what I think Trump thinks, or I'll be glad to say, because I don't speak for him, but what I think he thinks, or I'll tell you what I think. And I'm a Trump guy, so I think what I think carries some weight, too.
Well, we had a bunch of guys, a bunch of folks send me a bunch of questions as far as what they wanted me to ask you. So let me go ahead and pull these up on my iPad. And one of the questions is that everybody wants to know, you know, when the 9/11 report came out back in 2001, 2002, there were a lot of unasked, answered questions in the 9/11 report. And a lot of that report was redacted. I mean, we couldn't read it. I mean, a whole bunch of it. So we want to know if you guys, if you become president or if Donald Trump becomes president, would you do your best to try to release that information, or was that something that's going to have to stay confidential? Would you have to see the information first?
Well, right off the bat, that's going to be the first question I got to say. I don't speak for Donald. I can't say. I don't know. I just think that it all plays into my narrative of why the public likes Donald Trump. If you watched the last GOP presidential debate in New Hampshire last Saturday, there was a moment where Donald answered a question and the entire crowd booed. And the people at home, if they didn't know better, would have thought, wow, these people don't like Donald Trump. He must be a bad guy. Donald turns it all around. And how did he turn it around? And he won that debate with his answer. His answer was, look at these folks out here. Do you at home realize that everyone in these seats is a donor? They're all establishment. They're big money people. They're big corporate people. They're lobbyists. They're lawyers. And they want me to be bribed. They want to give me a check, and I won't take it, and I won't be bribed. And so they're angry because I'm not going to do anything for them, and they're going to lose, you know, their great game, you know. And that's the problem, is things are going great in Washington, and he's the guy that can change it all, upset the apple cart, as I like to say, the gravy train. They're on the gravy train, and he's going to upset the gravy train. And so I thought that was the moment he won the debate. I thought it was a moment where it crystallized in America's mind, you know, why this guy is so popular and why people are going to vote for him, and maybe why until that moment you didn't, but now you would vote for him. That kind of ties into your question. Donald's brave enough to say things no one else would say. He's brave enough to look under dark corners and in dark shadows where no one else would look. He's brave enough to disclose publicly things. Who would ever say out loud, look at the people in those seats. They're all fat cat donors. That's why they don't like me. They want to bribe me. That's an amazing, courage, bravery, chutzpah. As my Yiddish grandmother would say, that's amazing New York chutzpah. And he's the only guy willing to say something like that. And I've written articles since late spring, even before Donald Trump ever said officially he was running for president, where I said he'd make a great candidate. He'd be the only raw, politically incorrect guy who would be willing to offend you and say the things that need to be said. But he'll be the guy everyone needs to stop in the establishment, because he's the guy that will put people in jail who have lied to us and ripped us off in Washington, D.C. So I can't state anything about a specific issue, you know, 9/11 or anything else. I can only say I think Donald's the one guy who would go to Washington that can't be bribed and can't be blackmailed. Everything he's ever done, you know, that might be bad or sinful, it's already in the media. It's in the National Enquirer for the last 40 years. It's on the cover of the New York Post for the last 40 years. I grew up in New York. I saw it all. You can't blackmail him. It's out there, and you can't bribe him. He doesn't need your money. He's worth $10 billion. He's the perfect candidate for the people, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you on that, 100%. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I'm a Donald Trump backer. I mean, who else do we have to vote for? More establishment nonsense? And one of the other questions we had was on the national debt and the international banking community and the Federal Reserve that's printed the money out of nothing and charged this interest on money they print from nothing and has basically caused this gigantic national debt. They want to know if they could do this with an executive order, would they be willing to write off the entire national debt that's owed to these international bankers that have stolen it from the American population? If you think he would have the chutzpah to do that, or again, would he have to go in and just have to take a look at what would happen to the overall economy if he did it, or would he have a gradual transition away from the Federal Reserve system, or do you have any idea what he thinks about this stuff, Wayne?
I don't. I really don't speak for him, and I know I could get in trouble by saying I speak for him. So let's not do that. I don't want to do that. But what I do want to do is say, look, Donald Trump is not the status quo. He's not the establishment. The status quo and the establishment is the Fed. It is central bankers. Donald has made it very clear that it would not be business as usual in Washington, D.C. under a Trump administration. And so I really believe that there'd be massive changes. I think, you know, I don't know if anybody can kill the Fed. I don't know if anybody can make the Fed go away. I don't know if anyone could tie the Fed's hands, but I'll bet you could audit the Fed. I'll bet you could reform the Fed at the very least, if not make it go away. I think the fraudsters and banksters and the people at the Fed, have caused great damage to the American economy. I talk about it in all my books. You know, The Power of Relentless is my newest business bestseller. But my last two political books were The Murder of the Middle Class and The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide. One of them went to number one in America. The other one was one of the top 10 political books in the country for the year. And so I talk all the time, Ted, in those books about the fact Thomas Jefferson warned against letting a banking class take over your country. Exactly what's happening today. I'm a big fan of capitalism. I should love Goldman Sachs. I should love Wall Street. I should love banks. I don't. In reality, I despise them. And this is where kind of, Occupy Wall Street and those liberal commies kind of get together and meet with Tea Party conservatives like me, and there's kind of a little tiny bit of common ground. It's very small. It's like a whole country, and we're the state of Rhode Island. There's a little bit of common ground with real liberals only on this issue. I'm a capitalist. I love capitalism. I don't like crony capitalism. They're two completely different things, and I think we've lost sight of that. And unfortunately, the banksters, like the Goldman Sachs crowd, have infested government with all their ex-employees and ex-executives, including the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Secretary of every administration, not just in America, Ted, in Israel, in Canada, in Egypt, in Europe, in China. Wherever you go in the world, there are Fed people running the most important levers of government that are involved with decisions about money and bailouts and government printing of money and quantitative easing and who gets government investments. And it always happens to go to Goldman Sachs, to Wall Street, to the favored banks and investments of Goldman Sachs. And why not? It's all Goldman Sachs ex-employees in charge. So this is the most corrupt situation I've ever seen in my life. And it's funny that just yesterday, I don't know if you noticed this, I'm a big believer in gold. I'm a big believer that for thousands of years, the answer to debt and debt crises and reckless, irresponsible politicians spending you into bankruptcy, the answer has always been gold. And the worse they are, the more you want gold, and the better gold does throughout history, proven. And yet yesterday, Goldman Sachs, at a moment in time where I believe the whole world's about to implode, we're about to have an economic collapse, we're about to have a debt crisis in every major country in this world because they're all run by madmen like Barack Obama who think the answer to too much spending in debt is more spending in debt. And at that moment when you should own gold, Goldman says gold's going to go from where it is now, about 1,200, down to 1,000 by year's end. And here's why you have to hear why, they said. They said their prediction was based on the fact that because the economy of America is doing so fundamentally well, the Fed will be able to raise interest rates multiple times and gold will get hurt. And I sat here and I just looked at it and I just nodded my head that the fraud continues on a massive scale. The economy is doing well. I could rattle you off 1,000 statistics proving the middle class is being murdered and the economy is doing horrible, and we're at the opening stages of an Obama Great Depression, and Goldman Sachs is supposed to be the smartest minds on Wall Street, and they're lying to you, to your face, and telling you the economy is so sound that interest rates will go up and you should not own gold. And I'll bet you money, Ted, that while they're saying it, they're doing the exact opposite. Goldman is buying gold, central bankers are buying gold, and Goldman, for their own personal executives, while they're announcing to the world, don't buy gold and everything's fundamentally sound, they're telling their friends and their family, buy gold, and buy gold. They're liars. They're frauds. And they tell you the opposite of what you need to do so that they can make money doing the opposite while you don't know about it. It's a very sad situation.
Well, I couldn't have said that any better. In fact, I probably couldn't have said that as well as you said it, Wayne. That was extremely articulate and well-spoken, and I agree with every single thing that you said, because Thomas Jefferson did warn us about this. We simply did not listen in 1913 because Woodrow Wilson was being blackmailed because of his sexual exploits. He ended up signing the Federal Reserve Act, and we ended up with this big mess we're in right now 100 years later. We were the greatest creditor country in the world when we started this mess 100 years ago. Now we're the biggest debtor country in the world because they continually sell our debt because they don't want to hold it, and that's why they're continuing to just... Now they're having to buy their own bonds and buy their own T-bills and buy their own stuff because nobody in the world wants it anymore. But the sad
By the way, you know what makes it worse, Dad? What makes it worse is that you can never get the media to call the scam and the cover-up because the media's in on it because, of course, A, every media company is publicly owned. B, they're all incestuous. You find the head of Goldman Sachs is married to the head of, you know, NBC, et cetera, et cetera. And then the head of NBC's daughter is the head of Obama's reelection campaign 4 years ago, and now they're the head of Clinton's campaign. It's the most incestuous big government, big corporation scam or Ponzi scheme that I've ever seen in my life, and they're all buddies with each other, and they try and make their stocks go up. And so the media not only is covering up for their relatives and friends who run these campaigns, but they also rely on advertising. You know, a lot of people don't think about this. Fox News, CNBC, Fox Business, they only survive based on revenues, and their revenues are 100% derived from advertisers who are the biggest companies in America that are publicly traded. So if they announce that it's all a scam and the stock market's at all-time highs when it should be at all-time lows, and that at any moment there could be a collapse, and when it happens, you'll never be able to put the pieces back together and you'll lose your life savings because of this Ponzi scheme going on and this fraud. If they were to announce that, their own advertisers would pull out of Fox News, would pull off of Fox Business, would pull off of CNBC, and they couldn't get the ads from the pharmaceutical companies that they're bribed with, the ads from the major, gigantic, multinational corporations that they're bribed with. In return for that billion-dollar ad buy, you've got to lie on TV and say everything's okay, don't look at the accident, drive on by, there's nothing to see, everything's fine, even though at that moment there's a nuclear leak and all of you may be about to die. The cops got to say, oh, move on by, everything is okay. That's what the media is doing right now because they so desperately need the ad revenue for these companies that are in on the scam.
Well, you're exactly right. And also, you remember when Ben Bernanke was questioned about the trillions of dollars in off-book balance sheets and where the money had gone, he said he didn't know. He said it was sent to other banks. And a lot of these same banks now, it's been proven repeatedly, they've used that money to prop up their own balance sheets and to buy the Fortune 500 corporations. And now the same banks that we are trying to fight against with this Federal Reserve mess have gone in and pretty much bought up the entire Fortune 500 corporations in the United States with their interlocking corporate directorships and stock options and mergers. And now we have this situation where these bankers are controlling almost every major corporation in the United States, including the pharmaceutical corporations, including the media, including everything. So it's kind of like a big party that we're not invited to, Wayne.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've never been invited to it, and I keep telling everybody that, you know, for a guy who seems to love the poor and love the middle class, Barack Obama has done more to destroy them than anyone I've ever seen. Isn't it ironic in the last 7 years, I'm just a guy who, I'm an average small businessman, a successful one, but nonetheless, I am a small businessman and a one-man show, a one-man army. I have zero employees right now. My business is run with help from my wife and my 15-year-old son who runs all my videos since the age of 9. My whole business is based on my videos, and my son, who's now 15, has been running that aspect of my life since he was 9 years old. He shoots them, he directs them, he edits them, he produces them, he gets them to me with all the on-screen graphics. I bought him an edit suite for the house, and he knows how to do all of that at my home TV studio. So I'm a one-man operation with family help. I'm not a big multinational corporation, but because I ran for president of the United States as a small businessman and a homeschool dad, and I won the VP nomination and served on a presidential ticket in 2008 for the Libertarian Party, because of that, and because I have a media megaphone, I've become friends with some of the coolest people in the world, Donald Trump, Steve Forbes, Dr. Ben Carson, I don't know, the list goes on and on. Peter Diamandis, the number one private sector king of space. These are my buddies. And so I have all these middle-class friends, and I have all these super rich $100 million friends, and I'm not in their class. And I get to talk to all of them, and I hear two very different stories. Obama's been the best president ever for the super, super rich. They don't know what to do with all their money. They just don't even know what to do with it. He has bribed the richest people in the world to shut their mouths and go along with Obama because he has made them so fabulously rich. And by the way, that's how socialism and communism always works. a few people at the top get rich, they become members of the party, and everybody else gets screwed beneath them. And the middle class gets destroyed and becomes dependent on government. And all my middle class friends have been destroyed and screwed over, excuse my language, excuse my French, as they say, for the last 7 years under Barack Obama. He is destroying and squeezing out the middle class. Obamacare was the number one weapon of use, but clean energy and clean power and climate change and global warming are all also terms he's used to try and destroy us and enslave us. And if the average middle class person has an energy bill that goes from $100 a month to heat their home to $800 a month, and they've got a health insurance bill that goes from $500 a month to now $1,500 a month, you tell me how you have any money left over to live your life, or you're just completely destroyed and under the power of government and begging government to save you. And that's what's happened for the last 7 years. But all that money's been redistributed to the super rich and the super poor in the way of welfare and food stamps, and therefore everybody's happy at the very top. And at the very bottom, they vote and they donate, loyally Democrat, to Obama and his crew. And in the very middle, which is the vast majority of Americans and includes small business that creates all the jobs, we have been wrecked, we have been destroyed, we have been annihilated, and there's no recovering. And the media covers this up and says not a word about it. And it is the greatest Ponzi scheme in world history and the greatest disgrace in world history. And I feel bad for what the history books are going to say 20 years from now about the media and their part in all of this.
Well, they're putting us back into a feudal system. You know that. You're going to have the lords and the serfs, and that's what their goal is. Their goal is to have a one-world government back to the feudal system, back where you have the very elite, the very wealthy, and everybody else is a servant. Their goal is to massively reduce the population of the planet. That's their stated objective in many of their own papers they put out, and they're doing everything they possibly can using vaccines and GMO foods, all these different types of things that they know reduce fertility rates to do so. And the sad part about all of this stuff is, Wayne, the vast majority of the people, when you try to tell them what's really going on, because they've been so dumbed down with fluoride or dumbed down with GMOs or dumbed down with prescription drugs or just dumbed down with the horrible food that we've been given.
And don't forget vaccines.
Well, the vaccines are the number one. I mean, we know the Gardasil shot is going to be causing massive infertility problems with women. We know that only 2% of this Zika virus has actually been attributed to Zika virus. The other 98% of this microencephaly, we don't even know what's causing it. It's probably the DTaP shot, you know, with the pertussis and the, all the stuff they're giving them in the shots they're giving these kids. And so now everything's push more vaccines. Last summer, you may not even be aware of this, but a bunch of natural doctors actually died who are working on natural cures for autism and all kinds of other diseases, and they were finding all kinds of compounds, including a compound called Nagalase in the blood of these kids that were being diagnosed with autism, and they were trying to trace where it was coming from. So all of this stuff is being used together to destroy us as Americans. And meanwhile, Russia now has become the largest organic producer in the world. They're sending wheat more than the United States is all over the world now because they don't use glyphosate in their crops. And so it's like almost like we've changed places with Russia. What do you think about Putin? What do you think he's really all about, Wayne? Or do you have any idea?
Well, no, I have an idea. I mean, I think Putin's about Putin, but I can live with a man like that because at least I understand him. Yeah. You know, he's not a liar. Putin is about Putin. I mean, I've heard that Putin secretly is the richest man in the entire world. He's worth somewhere between $80 and $100 billion because Putin's basically the Gambino crime family of Russia. Every single business in Russia has to pay a tribute, like protection money, to Putin if you want to operate in Russia. So he's become the richest man in the entire world. You know, he's not taking that money from the average, you know, bakery on the street or the shoe cobbler on the street. He's taking from gigantic billion-dollar companies in Russia. If you want to operate, you have to pay your tribute to Putin. I've heard that for many, many years now, and that's what made him secretly the richest man in the world. But, you know, I can live with that because I understand what makes a guy like that tick, and also as you're giving him money, you're getting rich, so he wants everyone to do better so that he gets even more. I can live with that kind of corruption. The kind of corruption I can't live with is when Barack Obama is holding the rest of us down because he believes in the Cuban model and the Venezuelan model of shared misery, and he wants everyone else to do very badly because that makes us dependent on government and therefore we'll be more apt to vote for him as he offers more goodies and more freebies and more government and more free checks to everybody. It's a different model. They're both extremely extremely different on the opposite ends of the scale, although I guess at the top they have very much in common. Putin helps the super rich, and Obama helps the super rich. But certainly, I don't think Putin objects to anybody getting rich in Russia, whereas Obama really doesn't like successful people at his core in America. Never forget that comment, Ted. You know, you didn't build it. You know, to me, it's amazing how the press made a big deal about Romney saying 47% are on some form of government check, therefore they're more apt to not vote for me. Well, that was the truth. But on the other hand, when Obama said he's for income redistribution in a secret video, nobody in the media ran that day and night, night and day. And when Obama said, you didn't build that, nobody was very quick to make the counter-argument I've made in hundreds of political speeches. But then again, that's why I wrote The Power of Relentless. I'm a pretty relentless human being. And I believe in repetition, as I know my friend Donald Trump does as well. You got to hammer the point home again and again before it starts to ring a light bulb in your mind. And what I said again and again is that was the opposite of the truth when he said you didn't build it. Someone needed to answer back, no, it was you, government, that didn't build it. Because government doesn't make a penny on its own. Government's only money comes from us, the people. We pay taxes to the government almost at gunpoint by the IRS. We have to hand over our money, and government uses our money to build all the things Obama's taking credit for. So in reality, government didn't build the bridges and the roads and the highways and the hospitals and the schools and the airports. We did. The libraries, we did. It was the hard-working men and women who were willing to risk their money and start a business and then pay half of it to their silent partner who never did anything for them called government at the gunpoint of the IRS, who handed it over to the government, and then the government used it to build those things. You didn't build anything, Mr. Obama. Government didn't build anything. We did. The people. Without us, government doesn't exist. You have no money to hand out welfare or build pet projects. We, the people, are what America is about, and someone needs to stand up and say that.
You know, I have a good friend of mine is Neil Borch. I was on his show back in Atlanta years ago when he was
great
still
guy.
On the air.
Great guy.
And he wrote a bunch of books on this. He said the same thing in one of his books. He gave me multiple autograph copies I've got here at the house. He said that the government takes your money by gunpoint. They hold a gun to your head and they say, we're going to support abortion. We're going to support this. We're going to support this. And you're going to pay for it, because if you don't, we're going to put you in jail because you owe us the money, and we'll do whatever we want to do with your money, and you don't have a choice on it. And I loved him, and I wish he'd have stayed on the air a lot longer, but he had been on for so long. And the craziest thing about it is that, you know, he said everything that was the truth. The Libertarian Party, I'm like you are. I'm more of a Libertarian than a Republican, because the Republican and Democratic Party have merged into one. So do you think that the bribery and the blackmail and the pedophilia and all of this junk in Washington, I believe all of that, Wayne, is directly affecting Congress and their ability to vote and carry on actually a legitimate government, because they're all being blackmailed. What do you think happens to these guys when they're in the Tea Party and they go up there 6 years later and forget everything they told us, and sometimes 6 months?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to make sure everybody listening knows that, you know, I got so discouraged at the spending under George Bush and the debt explosion under George Bush and the fact that he never vetoed a single spending bill in 8 years as president, that after a lifetime of being a Republican, I was so fed up. I finally ripped up my Republican card. I finally left the party. I moved to the Libertarian Party just for a quick dalliance, as they say, and found myself being recruited to be a presidential candidate, won their VP nomination, served on their presidential ticket, you know, wound up on Fox News the next day, and then became a kind of a star in the media. And that's how this all happened to me. But I am back to the GOP. Even though I hate both parties, even though the Republicans aren't much better, or at least they sound better, but once they get in, they don't do what needs to be done. They sound great while campaigning. They sound like you and me, Ted, but when they get to Washington, they don't act like you and me would. And so I am back to the GOP, because it is a two-party system. It's the only thing that works. Some of the things the Libertarians believed in just didn't work for me, especially on the social and bedroom side of things. They were a little bit too extreme for my taste as an evangelical Christian. And so I left and came back to the GOP, because there just is no other ball game in town. And I believe in the end, you know, Republicans don't do what needs to be done. But on the other hand, they don't make things tremendously worse. You know, like a Jeb Bush, if he was elected tomorrow, would be so much better than a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary Clinton or a Joe Biden or an Al Gore. But he wouldn't do any of the things I really want him to do or I think need to be done to save America. He'd leave it status quo. But on the other hand, those Democrats would just destroy the country, like Obama's new budget yesterday, which was the biggest spending budget in the history of the world. Again, these people are madmen. They think the way to solve a disaster caused by spending and debt is to dramatically increase spending and debt. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. But
Wayne, I've got to say something, though. I mean, George Bush Jr. was just as bad. I mean, the guy, he never, like you
That's
said,
what
he
I'm
never
talking about the younger George Bush, not the older H.W., but the young George W. Bush of 2000 to 2008 fame.
Oh, he spent. So
right,
when he left and Obama came in, I couldn't tell a lick of difference between the two of them. The policies were the same. Middle Eastern policies were the same. Guantanamo Bay still open. Nothing's changed. And now I'm registered as a Republican because that's what I believe as far as the values that they have, as far as what they used to believe, even though so many of the Republicans are now pedophiles that have been proven to be so. I'm still believing in the plank of the Republican Party. I'm like you. I don't like the libertarian social issues very much. But then again, I understand it's about freedom and people making their own choices with all of those different things.
Correct.
But what I'm saying is, that, you know, why are these people going up, Wayne? What's happening to them? Are they being blackballed by the FBI?
Yes.
CIA? What's happening to them? Why are they just not doing what they say they're going to do? Are they all as much of liars?
That's my belief. I wrote two columns. You know, I have pretty popular political commentaries. Most of the stuff on the internet gets like 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people reading what you write. There's just so much content. It's hard to get anyone's attention anymore. And it just comes by the thousands of articles and commentaries, and nobody, you know, how do you stand above that? Well, somehow I found a way to stand above. I think a raw honesty always stands above, and people start to notice it. And so, you know, my columns at places like Fox News and Breitbart and The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website, they tend to, or my own website, RootForAmerica.com, they tend to get 50, 100,000 readers, sometimes 250,000 readers. But I wrote two of them in the last year that have gotten well over 1 million readers, which is unheard of on the internet. And one of them was about the very topic you're asking me about, what happens to a Republican when they get to Congress that they spoke so great and made fantastic promises in the campaign, and the minute they get there, they do the exact opposite. And I believe that they're being blackmailed. I believe that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. I believe that, you know, most men have a lot of testosterone coursing through their bodies. And if you run for office, you are, you know, a guy with a lot of ego and a lot of testosterone, more than most. And when they get to Washington, there's a lot of sex available. And they wind up in bed with someone. And the next thing you know, there's photos on their desk. And someone's telling them, you're going to vote from now on for bigger government, or these photos are going to be out there. And here's the way we play the game. Here's the two offers, the chicken and the egg, or maybe you'd say the carrot or the stick. And they say there's two ways we can play this game. Number one, we leak the photos to the media, and your life is ruined. Your career is ruined. You step down in disgrace. And get this one, you're never even going to get another job, because who's going to hire a guy who has a picture of him in bed with a man or a kid? You're done. It's over for you. And your own kids and your own wife will leave you and never speak to you again, and that's the end of your whole life as you knew it. Or we can keep these pictures private, no one will ever see them, and you will continue to be a very famous congressman or famous United States senator, and on the day you get defeated, we're going to give you a $5 million a year lobbying job, and on top of that, we'll put $10 million in a Swiss bank account, and all you have to do is at two or three key times a year, vote with us. Not all the time, not all year, because that would be too obvious that you're being blackmailed. Just once or twice a year when something key comes up, especially the budget that expands the size of spending and makes all of our friends rich, you're going to vote our way and you're not going to say a word. And the rest of the year you can rail against liberal ideas and big government. But on those few key issues, you'll do that. And I believe with those two choices in front of them, those two stark choices, these guys choose, I'll save my life, I'll save my wife, I'll save my family, I'll save my legacy, and I'll have millions of dollars, and I'll just walk out of here a rich man, as opposed to ruining everything by being honest. When, why would I be honest when I'm in bed with another person who isn't my wife or my husband, so I'm not honest in the first place? That's the choice they all make after being in Washington for a year or two or three, and that's why they're like milk. It spoils after a while. And they're all rotten to the core, and it's no good. It doesn't work anymore. The system is a failure, and we desperately need term limits so no one could stay more than one or two terms, and they're gone, and you get a fresh face with a chance for some fresh ideas and maybe someone who will stand up to the powerful special interests.
Austin, do you have any questions for Wayne? Because, I mean, he's covering so much stuff that we already believe.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I know we've discussed it before, But that's definitely interesting to hear from somebody that knows a lot of these people.
Hey, Austin, I just can't believe the people that I know who say such great things, and as soon as they get there, within 6 months, they're voting the opposite of everything they ever promised. You've got to say something's wrong and someone's gotten to them. You know, where I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, do you know that a year ago, 2014, so now it's almost 2 years ago, do you know that we had the greatest Republican wave in history? Do you know that we won every single constitutional office, and the governor and the lieutenant governor and the treasurer, and we won the assembly and we won the state senate, and we swept everything for the first time since 1923. We owned every lever of government, and they did it by campaigning as tax cutters who would hold the line and fight for the taxpayer. And do you know the minute they got into office, do you know their very first act was to pass the largest tax increase in the history of Nevada? These were Republicans who, the minute they got in after promising to cut taxes, and that's why they beat the Democrat, they passed the greatest tax increase in the history of my state. It's the most incredible thing you've ever seen, and all you can say is every one of them has been bribed or blackmailed. Every single one of them.
Now, you're running for Nevada this year, aren't you?
No, I'm not running for anything. I'm running for the greatest author in America with the power of relentless. I'm not running for any political office at the moment. I'm trying to help my friend Donald Trump get elected president of the United States. I'm proud that he's been to Nevada twice in the last month, and both times were thousands of people at the rally, 5 to 10,000, and he chose me to be the opening act for Donald and chose me to be the master of ceremonies to introduce everyone. And so I'm trying to help Donald get elected because I think, you know, I've got four kids, and my youngest daughter is 7 years old, and I just want to save this country for my kids and my future grandkids. And I'm busy being a capitalist businessman and selling my book, The Power of Relentless, which, by the way, just got bought by the biggest publisher in Japan, and they're translating it to Japanese and putting it out, and they think it's going to be the number one book in Japan. So I'm out there talking about The Power of Relentless.
How can people get it? Do you have a website, Wayne? Give me your website. That's how we get your book.
Well, a bunch of things. First of all, you can find out about you can buy my book at any fine bookstore. Just ask for The Power of Relentless by Wayne Allyn Root, or you can go online to Amazon. That's the easiest way. And you look up Wayne Allyn Root and The Power of Relentless, the first thing that pops up. But I think many of your listeners might want to grab a trilogy, you know, a copy of the Murder of the Middle Class, which explains what's happening today, what the objective is of both classes and both parties. And I think you may want to get The Ultimate Obama Survival Guide, which explains what Obama's objective was, since we were college classmates at Columbia University. His objective was to destroy this country and destroy capitalism and fundamentally change everything I believe in, like American exceptionalism. And so I think there's a lot of good books out there, and you can always watch my political commentaries. I do them on video because I think people enjoy watching TV more than reading a newspaper nowadays. So I do all my political commentaries on video at my political website, which is RootForAmerica.com. And, of course, you can find out more about my book there as well. Root, R-O-O-T, like my last name, Wayne Allyn Root, RootForAmerica.com.
Now, can they order your book directly from the website too, Wayne?
When you go to the website and you click on the book, it tells you about the book. You click on it, it takes you to Amazon. You order it from there. So it's just the easiest way. Nowadays, nobody has to be in business anymore with books. Everything goes through Amazon. It's just they've become, you know, like Kleenex for tissues and Vaseline for petroleum jelly. When you buy a book, it's Amazon. It's that simple nowadays, Dad. Nobody else is in the book-selling business, including me. I just leave it to Amazon. I make more money letting them do it than I could do it myself with all the manpower I'd need. So Power of Relentless, Amazon is relentless. And remember, Donald Trump is relentless, Wayne Root is relentless, Ted is relentless, and I love your show, and I love everything you stand for and everything you're trying to do for America and Judeo-Christian values. So thank you, Ted.
Well, thanks, Wayne. Now, one more quick question. This is an exit poll that happened out of New Hampshire with Democrats last night, and it said that 40% of the New Hampshire Democrats want a president more liberal than Obama. This is why Bernie Sanders won. Tell me why that's going on, because of giving the money away?
Yeah, it's called insanity. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It's ignorance. It's really ignorance. I mean, you know, I'm joking when I say insanity because it's crazy, but none of them are actually physically, mentally ill. They just don't understand. In other words, 100 years ago, I believe the liberal conspiracy began to brainwash this country. They knew they could never, America could never be taken over by a communist country like Soviet Union or the People's Republic of China. That was never going to happen. It was never in the cards. But if you could slowly take over the mechanisms that brainwash the people, They would probably call it education. I'd call it brainwashing. So liberals took over the entire public school system, the teachers' unions, every college professor. They took over the media, and they took over the government. And if you have those three things, you've got almost everything, and maybe the only thing left would be, I'd say, who's the most important in your society? Lawyers and the legal system and the judges, and guess who? All of them are Democrats. The Bar Association never endorsed a Republican in their lives. So you own the teachers' union and the teachers and the college professors and the entire media, and you have every lawyer in this country, therefore every judge. You've got it all. So you've brainwashed people, you've dumbed down generation after generation to actually not believe that they themselves are great and they themselves can create greatness and great businesses and solve your problems and find your money and live a great life, or that God is great, and by believing in God, you don't have to burden all the stress on your shoulder. You give it to God, and it's the greatest stress reliever in the world is prayer and faith in God. And, you know, they've taken all that away from us. They've taken God out of the Constitution. They've taken God. They want to take it out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They've taken it out of the schools. They've taken it out of everything. And now they're trying to take Jesus Christ's name out of government, but they've never tried to take Allah's name out of government. You can't say Jesus if you're a government employee for any reason, or print it in an invitation to any sort of private prayer meeting if you're a government employee, but they've never tried to stop Allah. That's what this Obama administration is about. It's very sad, but I think these kids have been brainwashed by our media and by our school systems. It's why my kids are homeschooled. Ted, my daughter, just graduated Harvard University magna cum laude as a homeschooler. She never was in a classroom in her life. She was taught at my home her whole life in Las Vegas, in the same city that has the worst schools in America, with the worst grades and the worst national test scores and the highest dropout rates. And my daughter was educated breathing that same air in that same town, homeschooled, and got into every great university in America, Harvard, Stanford, Columbia, Penn, Brown, Duke, Chicago, all of them. And then wound up going to Oxford and getting straight A's at Oxford, graduated Harvard magna cum laude, and now has a free ride at the best university in Germany to get her master's in economics. And that's my homeschool daughter, and three more kids behind her, all much younger, and they're all testing at the very, very top, half of 1% of all the kids in America, just like my daughter did. My son is 15.
It's funny, because I've got four kids too. All of my kids tested top. You know, we've homeschooled all of them, and my 16-year-old's in his second year of college now already in a dual enrollment program here in Central Florida with a 4.0 GPA. And the reason I'm saying all this to my listeners, you guys already know about my kids. Now, Wayne's telling you the exact same thing. If there's any way, if you're listening to this show today or you're listening to it in the archives, if you could homeschool your children and you can get them out of the communist indoctrination socialist clubs we call schools, or you want to call them prisons, whatever you want to call them, and get them homeschooled so you can teach them your values and make them understand what life really is supposed to be like in the United States, do it. Now, I've got another question for you. Since you went to, and I watched you do this video, gosh, it must have had a million views on it, and you did it from your office in Vegas, and you were talking about how you had gone to Columbia and how Barack Obama had claimed to go to Columbia, but you couldn't find anybody that ever met him or talked to him at Columbia. Is that still true?
Yeah, let me. I'm going to answer that question, but I also want to make sure anybody listening who's a godly person and a Christian person, they might be thinking, you know, Ted keeps saying Wayne's in Las Vegas, and Wayne keeps saying Wayne's based in Vegas, and my studio in Vegas. Why is a godly person live in Las Vegas? And I just want everyone to know, first of all, I don't know if you know this stat. It's the greatest stat in the world, Ted. Did you know that per square mile of and per population, Las Vegas has more churches than any other town in the United States of America? Did you know that?
I wouldn't doubt that. Everybody's trying to get my saved out of there.
Amazing stat. So it's not like it's an ungodly place. There's some gambling going on the Strip, and then there's these beautiful suburbs with beautiful homes and beautiful golf courses and guard-gated communities, and a lot of upper-middle-class and middle-class people live a wonderful life in Vegas where there's zero state income tax, zero business tax, zero capital gains tax on the state level, zero inheritance tax, and I believe the ninth lowest property taxes in America. When you add it together, you know, you might make $200,000 a year, and you might keep $30,000 that you would have had to pay to the government if you lived in California, and you pay zero in Nevada. And if you make $1 million a year, you're saving like $200,000 of your million. So you can then choose to do what you want and homeschool your kids and buy the best things for your family and the best cars. Your family's always safe and brand new tires. Everything I do is to make my family better. And living in Las Vegas, even though I know some people call it Sin City, by not paying those taxes, it allows me to give my family the best life in the entire world possible on the money that I make. And that's why I live in Las Vegas. And then we make sure on Sunday morning we're in church. So I want everyone to just understand that. That's all. So anyway, your question was, Obama at Columbia.
So, yeah. Yes, have you met anybody who knew him there?
I never saw him. I never met him. I never saw him. I never heard of him. I don't know a single other person who ever met him or saw him or heard him at Columbia University. And when I went to our 30th anniversary 3 years ago, college graduation anniversary, I tried to go up to every student at the entire event and ask them, you know, forget about how you feel about Obama now. Maybe you voted for him, you're a Democrat, whatever. But did you ever see him in class? Did you ever actually know him in college? Couldn't find one human being who ever met him at Columbia. We call him the ghost of Columbia. No one ever saw him there. It's the strangest story. He is the Manchurian candidate. I don't know what it means. I've said this again and again. I didn't say anything. I didn't cast aspersions. I don't know what it means. I just know it's strange that nobody ever met him. No one knows him. And I even went out of my way to find the most honored professor in the history of Columbia, Professor Henry Graff, G-R-A-F-F, who was my history professor and the head of the history department. And get this one, Ted, the presidential historian of Columbia University for 45 years knows everything about every politician who ever graduated Columbia. And I cornered him and said, what do you know about Obama? And he said, something's wrong. It's impossible to graduate without being in one of my classes. And never was there a Barack Hussein Obama in any of my classes. I've gone back and studied all the sheets that show who showed up for class each day. I've gone back and studied the final grades. There was never an Obama in any of my classes, but he was listed on graduation day, graduating the college, as a political science major. It makes no sense. It is beyond strange, and I have my doubts about Obama at Columbia. An exact quote from Professor Henry Graff, now retired, living in Scarsdale, New York, who is the most honored professor in the history of Columbia. I don't know what to make of it. I know the guy's the Manchurian candidate. Something's really wrong. And when you look at what he's done to America, it all makes sense that something's really wrong. This guy is just a bad guy.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? I mean, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a Fulbright colonel. In fact, her father was a general. And what's interesting about the whole thing is that she told me that her grandfather was the general. She told me when she was doing the research, into Obama when she was in the military, that his first executive order was to seal all of his personal records. Sealed. Done. By order of executive order of the President of the United States. I mean, she said that's never been done before by a president. There's always been almost full disclosure with everything. Everything. Every single thing was sealed with him so nobody could get any information on him at all.
I always thought that was strange.
Now, let me ask you, I've
done thousands of interviews talking about how never met him, never saw him, never heard of him at Columbia, and I challenge him in every interview to open your college records, and he's never done it. Now, when he was challenged by Trump about his birth certificate, he produced one. There's a lot of controversy and argument. Was it real? Was it not? I don't know. I have no idea. I've stayed out of it. Let's assume it was real. But I know he's never taken me up on my challenge. He's never, ever even hinted that he would ever release his college records. He's going to leave the presidency without ever showing how he got into Columbia, how he managed to be accepted into Columbia, when he was there, how he was there, what were his grades, and was he a foreign student at Columbia? Is that what he's hiding? There's something so strange about this guy, but I just know he has never, ever begun to answer that challenge, and it's pretty strange, and I think it's because it's at the root of excuse the pun, from Wayne Root, but it's at the root of everything wrong with the Obama story. It's rancid. There's something wrong with him, and I believe his goal, as Marco Rubio says, even though I'm a Trump man, I do agree with Marco. Marco keeps saying again and again, repetition, and repetition's good. I don't think you should attack him for it. Something's wrong here. Obama is not dumb, and he's not a fool, and he's not incompetent, and these things aren't happening by mistake. This is his attempt to purposely, fundamentally change America. This attack on the economy, this disastrous performance of the economy, and here's a stat you've never heard in the media, Ted. It's never been mentioned. In the history of the United States of America since George Washington, no president but Obama has ever been president over seven straight years, presided over seven straight years of GDP under 3%. And Obama just ended 2015 with the seventh straight year of gross domestic product, meaning the measurement of the economy, under 3% growth. Seven straight years, never happened at the depths of the Great Depression under Hoover or FDR, and yet the media says we're in recovery and everything's fine and Obama's produced jobs and the life is good. All lies.
I agree with you. Now, real quick, the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. We produce the highest quality supplements in the world. I was just talking to Wayne just the other day, and he told me how important it is to take supplements. And we just, Wayne and I agree on so much stuff. Wayne, you know, the whole thing about supplements, you know, we produce the supplements, we ship them all over the world. How important is it to take your vitamins every day, Wayne? How important is that for energy and
well,
to feel good?
You know, I wrote a 250-page business book that hit number one in America. Now it's being published in Japan, The Power of Relentless. The entire main section of my book isn't about business. It's about what I call positive addictions. We have a society that's so addictive to negative habits and bad decisions, whether it's cigarettes or drugs or alcohol or fast food or junk food. It's just really bad decisions. And I'm addicted. I'm an addict. You know what I'm addicted to? Positive decisions, healthy habits. And I'm a very disciplined person, and I believe my success is due to my positive addictions program. Every morning I wake up, first thing I do is I pray, and I read the Bible, and I give my life to Jesus Christ, and I get fired up. I meditate, I affirm, I visualize, I see my success, I eat healthy foods, I try and eat almost all organic whenever I can, and I also exercise every day. I try and do 2 hours a day in my home gym, and I pop 100 vitamin supplements a day, 100. And it's not a careless 100, it's a lifetime of study of vitamin supplements to know the right ones that work for your body, and I have this whole section of my book about it. I wouldn't be the high-energy, successful, super successful person I am as a one-man army without those vitamin supplements, and also the synergy of working out and eating healthy and praying and meditating. All of that together, and I also take a walk every morning. I try and take a 30 to 45-minute walk. Well, I call it a walk with God, and I kind of pray and affirm and talk about my day to God, just me and him in a park, and I start my day with that every day after I've already done prayer. So it's kind of like a double prayer and a double affirmation, and that's what I credit my success to. Take any one of those out, I'm not the person I am today. I'm not relentless. I couldn't have written a best-selling book, The Power of Relentless. But the number one out of all those, besides God, prayer, and Bible reading, is definitely vitamin supplementation. I could tell you any day where I don't take my vitamins, I don't feel like the same person, I don't have the same energy, and I don't have the same positive attitude. That's how important vitamin supplements are.
I agree with you, too. Now, one more quick question. Well, I got a couple more quick, I'm almost out of time. Second Amendment, I know you're a pronged gun. Do you have a concealed weapons permit?
I don't. I'm a proud gun owner. I've got several guns at my home, but I'm not a concealed weapons permit guy. I haven't bothered to go out and get one yet, but the way things are going in this country, trust me when I tell you, the thought has been on my mind, and I probably will go get one in the future.
Now, the quick question, could Trump win this election?
Yes. Oh, I think he can. Listen, I wrote a commentary that just came out today. It's at The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website, theblaze.com. And so I just wrote it this morning when I woke up at 6 in the morning till about 9 in the morning, and I put it out today, and it's called Three Simple Rules That Will Allow Donald Trump to Clinch the Nomination and the Presidency. And here's what I said. He has to do three things. If he follows these three simple rules, the presidency is his. Number one, stop criticizing your fellow Republicans. Follow Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of my fellow Republican. You've already destroyed everybody. They're all dropping out like flies. Well, you and I are doing this interview. Christie dropped out and Carly Fiorina dropped out. I was keeping my eye on Fox News on my computer screen while we're doing the interview. They're dropping like flies. Trump has ruined all of them. He doesn't need to ever say another bad word about a single Republican. No reason. He's going to beat Rubio. He's going to beat Cruz. He's going to beat Bush. You don't need to say anything bad. It's time to act presidential. Number two, I want you to name a Republican dream team to be all your cabinet members and your team to turn around the economy. Go ahead and win over the GOP. Make everybody like you. Say, Chris Christie, here's a role for you. Carly Fiorina, here's a role for you. Ted Cruz, you could be my attorney general. You know, Rand Paul, you could be my treasury secretary. There's a role for everyone on that stage that was running for president. They're all wonderful wonderful Republicans, and put Sarah Palin as the energy secretary, and the list is endless how many great Republicans are out there. Alan West should be the defense secretary. You know, there's one of my heroes and friends in life, Alan West. And then number three, stop attacking Republicans, but start 24 hours a day branding Hillary as a criminal. Hillary Clinton's the only person that could stop you. Bernie could never beat you. If they insert Biden at the last minute, which I think they will, he can't beat you at the last minute. But Hillary could still beat you because Americans are brainwashed and they love to elect a woman just because she's a woman. It's possible she could win. So just brand her the way you did it to Ted Cruz, the way you did it to Jeb Bush, the way you did it to Ben Carson. You destroyed them by branding them. So go ahead and brand Hillary. She's a criminal. I'm not going to be running against her. She's going to be indicted. The FBI will recommend indictment. She's done. She's cooked. She's history. She's a dead duck. Say that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just like Ted Cruz and just like your other opponents, she'll fade away, and that's the end of Hillary. And if by chance you do run against her and she's not indicted, guess what? She'll be crippled and you'll beat her. Just brand Hillary as a criminal, and it'll start to stick in the subconscious of the average American's mind.
Well, that's a great advice from him, I'm sure. And I'm sure you've told him all of this. Did he receive it?
I sent it directly to Donald's campaign manager and to his personal assistant at his office in New York as well. So it's from two different directions, and I'm sure they'll both hand it to him. So I just sent it to him an hour before you and I got on the phone together.
How often do you get a chance to speak to him?
I don't. I mean, the only time I speak to him is when he comes here for an event. I mean, that's the only time I speak to him personally, but I send him lots of emails with advice and with my commentaries, and he very often sends back a note. It says, from the office of Donald J. Trump, and you open it, and there he sent me back on an attachment the actual advice or the actual article, the commentary that I sent him. I wrote about him, and then he's got his personal handwriting on it. It says, Wayne, this was brilliant. I love it, Donald. You know, that type of thing. So that's our only communications. It's not like I'm his best friend in the world, but I think he likes my advice, and he seems to take it, and I say something, and it seems to come out of his mouth every so often, and I'm very proud of that fact, and I hope I can have just a little tiny effect on leading him in the right direction to save this great country and to save American exceptionalism and capitalism and Judeo-Christian values.
Wow, that was really well said. I agree with you 100%. And I was, the other day, somebody sent me an email, and I have a list of 100 people that I send a bunch of emails to every day. In fact, I've sent you a few of them.
And I love it.
It was so interesting. I somebody called me up and said, well, we don't want Trump, we want somebody else. And I'm like, well, who? Who do you want? Who do you want? Who do you want who's running right now? It can't be Rubio, because Rubio's complete flip-flop, you know, Tea Party person. It's a joke with Rubio. Ted Cruz destroyed himself with the dirty tricks that he played in Iowa. That's over with, plus a whole bunch of other stuff. And I said, who, Jeb Bush? We need another Bush in the White House like we need a hole in the head. And I said, there's really nobody else out there who's running on the Republican ticket that's worth his own salt. And, you know, and Hillary Clinton, she's a criminal. Bernie Sanders, he's a devout, devout communist. Like you said, the only person that could actually put a ringer in some of this would be Biden, if they threw Biden in there at the last minute if Hillary got indicted.
And he's just a ringer. I mean, all he is a continuation of the Obama administration. You know, he's a lackey who, I think that's Obama's mission. If you asked me to guess, I would say Obama's plan is that he will allow the DOJ to indict Hillary. He will come into the convention and say, we can't have this woman who's been indicted. I love you, Hillary, and you've done great service to your country, and I will pardon you, and you'll never be in trouble, and you can go home and retire now. And I suggest Joe Biden as the nominee. And Joe Biden is a continuation of Barack Obama. He'll do whatever Obama advises him to do for the next 4 years. Joe's already said if he ran, it would be a four-year, one term only. He would never run for two, and he would name his VP to be the person who would take over for him. And I already know who it'll be. It's going to be Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. I guarantee you, that's the person they've hand-groomed to be Joe Biden's vice presidential running mate, is Elizabeth Warren, so that they can continue with this Republican war on women theme, because they don't want to let that die. They've got to get women votes, or they could never win, because almost every man in America votes Republican. So they've got to get women's votes. They have to have a woman on the ticket, and Elizabeth Warren is a clone of Hillary Clinton without the corruption. So they found the perfect Northeast ultra-liberal woman who's just like Hillary, but without Hillary's corruption and indictment hanging over her head. And I believe that ticket will be nothing more but a ticket that takes orders from Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, of course, is nothing more than a puppet who takes orders from who knows who, probably George Soros and several other communist billionaires around the world who want to see the destruction of American Judeo-Christian values.
You still with me, Wayne?
I am. I lost you there. I'm here.
I'm still here. This is Austin. I don't know where Dad went.
No, I don't know where Chad went, but at least you and I are on the line, Austin.
Yes, sir, we sure are. Well, the music's queuing in, so I'm not sure if it cut him out. But, Wayne, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I was really, really fortunate to be able to speak with you. Again, what's your website? It's Root for America, correct?
Yes, the book is The Power of Relentless. It's the number one business book in America, or it has been the number one business book in America now, headed to Japan. And the website is rootforamerica.com. And you can buy the book at Amazon.com or any fine bookstore, but my political commentaries are all at rootforamerica.com. And it was a great honor to be on the show with you, Austin and Ted. I don't hear you anymore, but goodbye. Thank you to have me on, and God bless to everybody listening.
Thank you, Wayne. You have a blessed one, and I'm sure we'll stay in touch with you, and we'll keep pushing for Trump, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Austin. God bless.
Bye-bye.